Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Connect on blogtalkradio.com. Catch us on the web at umconnect.info. Welcome to this latest episode of Connect. I'm Michael Rich, and I'm the Web and Communications Manager for the Western North Carolina Conference. Today we have on the air with us Dr. Doug Hume. He's an Associate Professor of Religion at Pfeiffer University in Meisenheimer, North Carolina. And this is another episode within our Call and Vocation Team series. And today we'll be discussing Doug's call to ministry and then also get into the Youth Theological Seminar that they're launching at Pfeiffer this year. So welcome to this show, Doug. Hang on. Okay, you're back on the air. They turn you off automatically, and I have to catch that now and then. So welcome to the show, Doug.
Okay, well, I'm with y'all.
Yeah.
And the listeners out there on podcasting. So.
Yeah, this is a good opportunity. You and I have never met face-to-face, but it's good to meet you on the air. And so, you know, for everybody listening, let's get a little background from you. Where are you from? Where did you grow up? And where did you go to school? Those kinds of things.
Sure, yeah. Well, I'm originally from Louisville, Kentucky. That's where I grew up. And that's where I went to school and high school. And my undergraduate was at the University of Louisville. I'm a very proud Cardinals fan, although probably not so proud this year, given what's going on with our basketball team. But that's where I'm from, and I actually grew up as a Baptist. My parents were Southern Baptist missionaries who had come back to Louisville to study at the seminary there and ended up staying in Louisville, not going back on the field. And I grew up in a household where my parents were both educators. So that is background. That's where I'm from. Yeah.
Okay. University of Louisville. And where did you go after that?
After that, I spent a few years in Berlin, Germany. I found a ecumenical organization that sent me as a ecumenical volunteer or missionary, I guess you might call it, to former East Berlin. And this was back in the mid-90s is when I went over there from 92 to 97. Okay. And was working and living in the East Side with congregations that had been very involved in the movement that brought down the Berlin Wall several years prior to that, with Lutheran and Methodist and all kinds of different churches that were working together for issues involved with social justice and peace and environmental issues. It was a great 2 years there in Berlin, and then an additional 3 years in Berlin. I began to study at the Humboldt University in Berlin, studying theology and doing my Greek and Hebrew over there, and then coming back to the States to do my MDiv at Princeton Seminary and my PhD at Princeton Seminary.
Okay.
So I guess you could say a large part of my first 30-something years was spent in school. And I think that's a little bit about who I am in terms of how I've been shaped. I just love being in the academic context. That's where I feel most comfortable, and that's what I love to do.
I understand. Well, tell us about your call story. You came to Christ in a missionary home, but you heard a call to ministry. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in the church, and of course, going to church, you know, almost every day it seems like, but obviously Sundays and Wednesdays, and in a very, you know, religious home. My call story is evolving, but I guess I would, you know, I have a really kind of funny anecdote. I think I received my call when I sort of first recognized something going on. was during a mission trip in high school with our high school youth group. And my youth minister had been talking to me for, you know, a long time about, you know, he thought that I had a call. And he'd been nagging me and talking to me about it. And I was like, no, I want to be an engineer. I want to go do something else with my life. And we were traveling back from the mission trip and sitting in a McDonald's. And I'd gotten up to get my food, and I came back to sit down, and on the table there was a napkin, and on the napkin was written, "God called, call back." I never found out who wrote that, but I'm pretty sure it was my youth minister. And that really made me step back and think about my life. Now, I put that aside, still thinking that I, you know, was going to be, you know, going to have a very different life. I was very interested in math and science at that time and went into engineering in my undergraduate, but had a breakdown, not a breakdown, but, you know, existential crisis is what I might call it. And
sure.
A lot of college students have that in their first or second year. And that was in my first year, second semester. And I realized there was just a moment. I remember I was riding the bus to get to class, and I used to take the public bus and transportation in Louisville. And I just remember this moment looking out the window and just realizing, yes, absolutely, that's what I need to do. I need to follow what God has in store for me. I need to follow this call. And the troubles that I'm having and the classes that I'm having right now are not fitting me. That's not who I am. And really, mid-semester, my second semester, I dropped all of my math and science courses and changed my major to liberal arts major, philosophy. And just, you know, from that point on, I've just been trying to follow where God will lead me. It's never been that clear of a call in terms of this is exactly what, you know, it's not like, I know some people have a clear call that they want to be in pastoral ministry or God's calling them to that kind of a ministry. My call hasn't looked like that. It's always been me listening and God moving me in different directions at different times. And so I've done all kinds of work from social ministry to campus ministry to work with the ecumenical churches in Berlin, so international ministry and evangelism. So I've done all kinds of stuff, and I keep listening to where that call might take me and what how I might serve. And this past year, I'm very pleased that I've been appointed by the Western North Carolina Conference to serve here at Pfeiffer University in Extension Ministry. And we'll see where that takes me as I begin to come into the United Methodist system and my ordination becomes recognized and how all that's going to work. We'll see what requirements I may have to follow here.
Okay. Well, let's get into that because I introduced you as an ordained elder because I saw you in the database, but you may.
That's right.
Tell us about how that all went.
Well, that went, you know, I came here to Pfeiffer about 9 years ago, and you know I came as a Baptist and a moderate Baptist, you know, CBF oriented. But
sure.
You know, I have gotten so involved here with the campus ministry and the village church, and I really see my service here as preparing students to go on to ministry themselves. And most of them are going into United Methodist Church. In our graduate program, we're preparing lots and lots of students to go into deacon ministry through our partnership with Wesley Seminary.
Right.
And in our undergraduate program, we've sent a number of students on to study at various United Methodist seminaries for the elder track. And, it, you know, it's interesting. So I go to conference every summer and see my former students get ordained. and I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe I ought to think about being part of this community, because I'm recognizing that really this conference has welcomed me with open arms and welcomed the ministry that I'm doing in preparing their next generation of leadership, that I felt like, well, yeah, you know, God is calling me to that too. And then there are certain ways in which I resonate with Wesleyan theology and what I understand of Wesleyan theology and United Methodist understanding and ways of worship. And so that emphasis upon social holiness has been really very attractive to me as a person who's done a lot of work in the past with prison ministry and social justice ministry, but also the personal holiness, the idea that yes, through grace, I can take responsibility for my own spiritual growth and my own physical health and all of these mm-hmm. other things. You know, I feel well here at Pfeiffer, and I feel like I'm part of a community that is growing spiritually, and you know, I've lost, you know, 30 pounds, 40 pounds over the past few years. This idea of this notion that there's a holistic self that we're called to take care of. I think there's something very deep to that in what Wesley left us, the Wesleys left us.
Oh, no doubt about it. So, one of the questions that I ask, and this is a part of our call and vocation series that we do on the radio show, one of the questions they want asked of everybody is, describe your call in one or two words. How would you do that?
Well, I guess I would, because I'm a biblical studies professor, one word would be biblical.
Okay.
I think the source and the way that I read Scripture and dwelling on Scripture every day, that's what it's about for me. I mean, studying Scripture and trying to see what God has in store for us through Scripture, that is my life. That is my calling. That is what I've dedicated myself to study and to teach others. So that would be one. And then pastoral. I try very hard to take care of my flock here, my students and those I work with. And that is those I serve. I really feel like that pastoral or service call is a large part of my ministry. So pastoral and biblical is what I would say.
Okay. So who are the people who shaped your life in the beginning of that call? Who are those folks that influenced you in the beginning? Who are the folks that are influencing you today?
Well, in the beginning, I would definitely say that my youth minister growing up, John Willingham, was just an absolute influence upon me. He was an older, well, not older, but you know, from my age, he seemed older. You know, maybe in his late 40s, 50s at the time, and he just had a comfort about himself. He was unpredictable, kind of wild and crazy. Had a long beard, long hair. Reminds me a lot of our campus minister, Dana McKim. And it was his spirit, I think, that really shaped my understanding of a God who, as I read Scripture, even still today, a God who is full of surprises, a God who is full of love and grace and humor, and that you know, that was really influential upon me as a young person, to have someone who felt so comfortable with himself that he could be made fun of, that he could be unpredictable, a little bit crazy, and that was so profound and powerful. And I don't think it's an accident that now I'm working with youth ministers and people who want to be Christian educators themselves.
Mm.
And then I think the people today who influence me most are my colleagues here with whom I'm working. Kathleen Kilborn in our master's program, she has become a friend and a person, a confidant that I can speak to. Dana McKim is a minister and a friend and a person that I have I continue to learn from and a mentor. Sherry Barnes, who is our assistant pastor of the Village Church, she is just a wonderful person with whom I've been able to open my heart and share and work together with as a colleague. My colleagues Kevin Taylor and Patty Myers, and my discussions with them, those continue to be people who are shaping the way I understand the world and the way I understand the church, and the way my call is taking me and where it's taking me and what I'm doing.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back and talk more about higher education and your work at Pfeiffer, and especially this summer dealings that you got planned. So here's now a word from our call and vocation team.
Hello, I'm Jim Parsons, the chair of the Call and Vocation team for the Western North Carolina Conference. We are thrilled to partner with UM Connect to bring you some unique conversations in 2016. Our team is focused on cultivating a culture of call within our conference. For more about our work, please visit us at isgodcallingme.org.
The United Methodist Foundation of Western North Carolina is a ministry of the church for the church, whose mission is to build a church for generations to come. We fulfill this vision by investing in people, as well as helping churches and related institutions invest the financial resources that God has given to them. My name is David Snipes, and we look forward to the day when you give your United Methodist Foundation a call.
And you can find out more about the United Methodist Foundation of Western North Carolina at the sponsor page on our show's website, which is umconnect.info. And so we're back now with Doug Hume. He's sitting at the phone at Pfeiffer, and he was telling me before the show started that it's St. Patrick's Day at Pfeiffer and in the chapel. Dana McKim is there in green beard, which I would only expect from him. So higher education, that is a calling that you've gotten into. Tell me just quickly, how did you know that is what you wanted to do with your life?
Well, I knew that that was what I wanted to do with my life when I got accepted into the PhD program at Princeton Seminary. And even then, I didn't quite know, because I was actually planning on going into prison ministry. I had a job lined up after I was done with my MDiv. But I applied out of a lark to get into the New Testament program, and I got in.
All right.
And I went to talk to one of my professors, and he said to me, you know, you won't get this chance again, probably. You might as well do it. And I said, plus, he said, if you get a job, you're not going to want to go back to school. I thought, well, there might be some wisdom in that. So that's when I knew. But really, I've known all along, I love being in Scripture and having the idea of having a job where I can spend hours and hours and hours just studying the text. That's really what I love to do when I get the chance. That's when I knew. Yeah.
All right. Well, now, and this is what I've gotten secondhand. Jim Parsons was telling me about a new program that y'all are working on at Pfeiffer, a summer ministry with youth. Tell us about this program that you've got plans and launch dates, those kinds of things.
Well, the name of the program is the Pfeiffer Youth Theological Institute, PYTI, and I think we're going to brand it as YETI for short. That's fun. And we're actually working on the branding and creating a little YETI for all of our brochures and materials. It's a two-week summer experience for high school age group youth who know that they are called to ministry. Or at least are sensing a call to ministry. It's a place where it's a time and a place where they can get together with a group of about 12 other students, at least this first summer, and explore what it means to do vocation, to be called to the church. It's a two-week experience. They start here in Meisenheimer for 1 week, and our focus. There's actually two foci, but one very important focus is eco-theological formation. So how do we think about our spiritual formation in relationship to God's oikos, God's house? So it's really conceived as more broadly than just ecological issues and having to do with the environment, but really how our spiritual formation engages every part of God's creation, including community, including ecological issues, but also including the church. The format will be study for part of the day and then engaged learning for part of the day. So I'd originally conceived of us studying in the morning and then going out in the afternoons and doing little service trips and field trips to different organizations here in the area. But we might flip that because of the heat. We might do the trips in the morning and then the study in the afternoon and evenings. But we also really want, and you know, this is the second focus, we also really want to shape a community. So the idea will be that they will get into a rule of life in which worship and study and community and having meals together will all be part of that sort of new monastic experience that we're working with the kids on. And that's also a big component of our second week. In our second week, we're going up to Asheville to the Halls Creek community that Elaine Heath and Larry Duggins are working on up there. Mm-hmm. And they're going to experience engagement with that Missional Wisdom Foundation and going to do the same thing. Studying will be coupled with community engagement in the Asheville area. So it's a 2-week experience, 1 week here in Meisenheimer, and the second week will be up in Asheville, at least for this year. In next year and the following years, we're going to expand this out to 36 students, and it'll be the same format the first week. All 36 will be here in Meisenheimer. But in the second week, one group will still go up to Asheville to the Missional Wisdom Foundation folks. But we'll have a group that, through our partnership with Wesley Seminary in D.C., will go to Washington, D.C., to inner city D.C., and do service projects there in the inner city and do church and society work with the board there and maybe even meet some representatives there. And then we'll have a third group, and this is really an exciting opportunity. We'll have a third group that will be connecting with sports ministry opportunities here in the Charlotte region. We've got connections with the sports chaplain of the Bobcats. We've got other connections with NASCAR. And those folks will be sort of visiting different sites and finding ways to do worship and service, engaging kids in that way in Charlotte. And then we'll bring them all back together. The idea is we'll bring them all back together for a weekend of worship and exchange and learning and fun and celebration so that the groups learn from one another. This is for rising sophomores through rising seniors. So high school sophomores to high school seniors. And we're looking for 12 really good kids this summer, 12 kids who ministers or youth ministers are looking at and they're saying that kid's got a call, just doesn't know it yet, or that kid's already actively exploring their vocation. These are the kids that we really want to get together, and we see this as a way of creating a lifetime of networks and friendship and community for these kids that they will begin as youth and will continue to follow through their ministry as they perceive and follow their call, hopefully through their lives.
So how did this program come about? Where did it all spring from?
The Lilly Foundation, and that is an Indiana-based foundation related to the Lilly Pharmaceuticals Company, they have a focus on vocation and higher education, and they have given numerous grants to organizations in higher education. And they put out a proposal for proposals last spring to undergraduate institutions all across the nation to apply for this grant. And Pfeiffer received almost $600,000 from the Lilly Foundation in order to implement this program. So we wrote up the grant application last summer. And I was already working with the call and vocation team with the conference and engaging them in various ways. And I thought, well, this would be a wonderful way to do this for the area, for students here in Western North Carolina. Some folks might be familiar with the Youth Theological Academy and in Emory. Mm-hmm. And I think Duke has a
Youth Theological Academy as well. Yeah.
So people might be familiar. Those are both Lilly programs that were done by seminaries. But Lilly sort of stepped back and decided, you know, they wanted to do this really out of undergraduate schools because, well, I suspect because we're closer. We're closer to that age group, and we might, you know, be able to fit those kids better into our programs.
Very neat.
The dates, July 10th through July 24th this summer. Just wanted
okay.
to get that out.
Well, I look forward to getting more information, and I'll help Pfeiffer, you know, get that word out through our communications process in Western
cool.
North Carolina. But, you know, it's exciting. And, you know, I keep thinking back what a great opportunity that would have been for me as a youth when I was struggling with a call to ministry. If I'd have had an opportunity like that, it would have made all the difference in the world.
And for me too, you know, I shared my call this morning and you know, that's when I was a youth, that's when I was wrestling with it. And it was, and maybe part of that existential anxiety, that's part of the call, you know, maybe that's part of what it means to come to terms with letting go and allowing God to lead. But I think having a community of folks who recognize that that's part of the experience. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we just have a few minutes left, and I want to get to this question. What is the importance of focusing on call and vocation with youth and young adults?
Well, I think the importance for us to focus on it is because God is calling youth and young adults. I see that every day. God is calling them. And too often, I see so many impediments to that call being set up. You know, whether it's parents who have financial anxieties, and I don't blame them, right?
Sure.
I mean, people are nervous about, okay, how is my kid gonna make money if they go into the church? Well, you know, is it about that?
Right.
So I think the importance is for us as churches to recognize that God is calling people, right? I think too many of us are more like Eli, and we're telling Samuel, go back to bed.
Right.
You know, we don't see it, even when God is calling our youth and our children. And how many times do they have to come to us before we recognize, oh, well, you know, wait, listen to all that God is telling you. We need more people who will tell us to listen to our calls, tell our youth to listen to their calls. I think that is a task and a requirement for the church. And if we don't fulfill that requirement, oh my goodness, what will happen? How will the church be led? How will we have a church even 20, 30 years from now? Because I don't think there's enough folks in the pipeline from what the studies are to really fill those needs. So I think it's vitally important for at least for the current time. It's even more important than it's ever been. The church is going to face challenges that we can't even imagine in the 21st century. It's going to look very, very different. And God is actively calling some of the brightest and most creative and loveliest young people to make serious transformational change for the church, missional change. And I believe that we have a responsibility to accompany those folks in their call to offer them opportunities to reflect on it, to grow in it, to study, and to really engage the call that they're being called to.
All right. Well, Doug, we've sort of come to the end of the show. If you could leave us with one last word, you got 10, 15 seconds. What would you say to those listening today?
God is a surprising God, and God will call you to places you can't even imagine. Just listen. Just listen to what God is doing, whether you're a youth or whether you're even someone second career who's having doubts about their lives. Listen to what God is calling you to do. We have folks from all walks of life at Pfeiffer, all ages, who are coming back and realizing that they've got a call. Just listen and follow, and you'll find where God wants you to be.
All right. That is a great word. Thanks for giving your time today, and I look forward to hearing more about this Youth Institute and look forward to hearing more about your call and ministry in the conference. And thanks, everyone, for listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. The show will be available on the Blog Talk page as well as the show's website, which is umconnect.info. And we're going to be back next week connecting United Methodists and their stories.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks to our sponsors, the Western North Carolina Conference and the United Methodist Foundation of Western North Carolina. You can find out more about them on the sponsors section of the website, umconnect.info. I'm Michael Rich, and you've been listening to Connect.